Hello and welcome to the Bright Morning Podcast. I'm Elena Aguilar. All right, folks, for the next 3 weeks, I've got a series of episodes for you on the kinds of conversations you can have with the folks that you coach or support to help them close out the year in a powerful way. These episodes are actually going to contain useful, relevant information for any time of the year because I'm focusing on how to coach the strong emotions that can arise at the close of the year, but which really can arise at any time, as we all know. So in this episode, I'm going to focus on exploring anger. And then in the next one, I'll focus on sadness. And the final episode will be focusing on joy. So in this episode today on anger, you're going to get some ways to think about anger, a caution for you as a coach, and a few questions to ask clients when they are experiencing anger. Before we jump into it, I just want to thank our supporters of the podcast and Polly P. from Texas, who is a new friend of the show. Thank you so much for your support, Polly. And a reminder to share. If you haven't already signed up for my weekly wisdom newsletter, please make sure to do so. You'll find the link in the show notes. And by doing that, you'll be amongst the first to know about new resources. You'll get invitations to upcoming free webinars and more. Okay, I want to jump right into this episode with a story about an end of the year coaching conversation that I had with a teacher whom I'm going to call Matt. He had stepped into a position in October when the teacher we had hired had quit. And at the end of the year, the principal decided to not have him come back. So I went into our final coaching session and he was seething with anger. He felt like he had done a really good job. He felt like he had stepped up in a really difficult situation and he was shocked that he wasn't invited to come back. And he was talking and talking and he was getting really red in his face. And I was just listening. And then he looked down at his hands and just sort of paused. And then he said, "I just didn't know I wasn't doing a good job. I wish I'd known." And in that moment, I heard sadness, disappointment, unfairness, anger. And all of these emotions were kind of coming together in this swirl. And my response when Matt paused was, I said, "Tell me more. Tell me all of it." And he talked and he talked and he talked and I listened. And he kind of started winding down. And I remember taking this really deep breath and exhaling loudly. And he did too. That's a little coaching strategy you can use sometimes. Clients can unconsciously mirror your nonverbals in some ways, a deep breath. And then we really dug into the anger, the unfairness, the sadness, the hopes that he'd had, who he wanted to be. So as we approach the end of the 21-22 school year, you don't need me to tell you that this has been a really hard year for educators. I know that you know that. I just did the counting because I've lost track of how many years I've been in education. I did the counting. I was like, oh, this is year 28. I'm closing out the 28th school year. And I have to say, I do think it's the one in which I've heard the most suffering. I think it's harder than 1920 was. And I think it's harder than 2021 was. And I think it's harder because people are so tired. And they thought that this year would be better, that it would be easier, and it's still been so hard. There's been so much disappointment and sadness and frustration and doubt and more disappointment. That feeling of this is not what we wanted. This is not what we expected. So let me jump in with a coaching tip right there, which is to listen for gaps between hopes or expectations and reality or what happens. And often in that gap, you will hear sadness and anger. So listen and ask about expectations. You know, what did you think this year would be like? What did you hope this year would be like? What did you hope your principal would do this year? What did you expect from your partner teacher? And then ask what happened and guide someone to explore what those gaps contain. What kinds of emotions are in those gaps between hopes and reality, or between expectations and reality? I really think our world would be different if we could develop a different relationship to anger. If we could learn how to learn from it, how to be curious about it, how to accept it and even welcome it. Because like all emotions, anger is just a thing that happens to human beings. It's a kind of an energy that can arise, that can show up, and we can learn from it and not get stuck in it. And let me just make sure that you know that there is a difference between anger and aggression. So anger can become aggression when it manifests as a behavior like throwing plates or shouting or shutting down. Or anger can also become aggression when it transforms into thoughts. Thoughts about yourself, thoughts about others. So there's a difference between anger and aggression, and I'm talking about anger and how we can shift in our relationship so that we might be able to be more open to it and curious about it and want to explore it. I want to offer you three ways to think about anger, and I just encourage you to listen and consider what you might be able to learn from these three ways to think about anger. So the first way to think about anger is that anger can show up as a mask for sadness or fear or shame. There are often other emotions tangled up with anger. Sometimes it can feel easier to access anger or to recognize it because anger has some energy in it, right? Anger is kind of like fiery and alive. In contrast, sadness can make us feel kind of depleted or flat. So sometimes we are more receptive to feeling like, oh, I'm so angry. But when we dig down, we find these other emotions, grief, fear, shame, other emotions, even envy can be down there. A whole bunch of things can be under the surface. Okay, second way to think about anger is that it's an emotion that shows up when a boundary has been crossed, and it shows up as a call to action. So anger can bring good into the world. It can energize us and it can fuel us to do something about situations that are unjust. Just jumping back for a moment to the anecdote I shared in the opening with the teacher I called Matt. Matt was expressing his anger and really felt like something unfair had happened. And I heard him say he didn't get the feedback, that he wasn't doing well. And in that moment, it really made me wonder about how I, as a coach and our principal, gave feedback to temporary employees. Because in that context, we didn't really have to evaluate them. It was a little vague, but it was unfair. So anger can be a sign that a boundary has been crossed, and it can feel like we need to do something, a call to action. Okay, so the third way to think about anger comes from the tradition of Zen Buddhism. And I'll tell you this little story in which a monk decides that he's going to meditate alone. And he goes away from his monastery. He takes a boat out into the middle of a lake and he closes his eyes and he begins to meditate. So there he is for a few hours of silence, meditating, and suddenly he feels another boat hitting his boat. And with his eyes still closed, he feels his anger rising up. And when he opens his eyes, he's ready to shout at the boatman who just keeps bumping his boat into this monk. He's ready to shout at this other guy who's like, "How dare you disturb my meditation?" But he opens his eyes and he sees that it's an empty boat. It wasn't tied up. It had floated out into the middle of the lake and it was bumping into his boat. And in that moment, the monk understands that the anger is within him. It lives in there within him and it needed to hit an external object to provoke it. So afterwards, whenever he meets someone who irritates him or provokes his anger, he just remembers, this other person is an empty boat. Anger is inside of me. All right, so I hope that might provoke some reflection, some curiosity about your own anger that lives inside of you and how it is triggered. I want to take a little bit of a detour here and provide a word of caution. A beware, this is a tendency coaches can have, what I'm about to describe to you. And the way I think about this warning sign is that this is about knowing what is yours. Know what is yours. That's the way I think about this. Know what is yours. And the simple way I think about this is you need to be really clear about your stuff that you need to sort through, your feelings, your experiences. Otherwise, you risk projecting them onto a client. Otherwise, you risk seeing in your client something that actually isn't theirs, but is yours. And so again, this happens when you aren't clear on your own stuff. You haven't sorted through your own feelings, your own experiences. And one way to start honing an awareness of this and be mindful about not projecting your stuff onto others is to practice paying attention to your listening. And this is one of the activities that's foundational in our Art of Coaching 101 course. You can also find it described in the Art of Coaching workbook. If you cultivate awareness of your listening, you pay attention to your own listening, you might, for example, start noticing that you are making connections to what your client says. And you might be thinking, oh, me too. That happened to me too. I felt like that. Or I felt similar, but also different. And sometimes you might notice that your mind kind of wanders off into your own experiences. And that's just a cue for you that there's some stuff there for you to sort out, to learn about. And there's nothing wrong with that. We all have stuff to sort out. So in some ways, be grateful when you notice that your mind is wandering because it's like, oh, here's something for me to learn about. But you want to be careful to not do that too much when you're coaching, because what's happening then is if that's what you're doing, you're not really present with your client. So let me just give you a little quick example. Many years ago, when I first started coaching, I remember at the end of the year coaching a teacher. He was really frustrated with all the endless demands that admin had asked for. And he was saying he felt like they hadn't been really understanding about what teachers were going through. And he was saying he was thinking about applying for another position in a neighboring district. And I was thinking, yeah, me too. I can relate. I'm so frustrated also. So I said, I hear you're ready to take action and explore that other job. What are your next steps? That question might sound like it makes sense, might sound like it would flow, but the teacher wasn't actually wanting to take action. I said, what are your next steps? Because I was thinking about leaving. And what the teacher said was, well, I mean, yeah, I'm frustrated, but I really love working in this community. It's where I grew up and I've made meaningful connections with families and I don't want to leave. I really just want to figure out how to give admin feedback. And I remember in that moment feeling kind of stunned and checked because my coaching in that moment was not really in response to what the teacher was saying or needing. It was in response to my own unprocessed musings. So know what is yours and what is your client's. And this is about honing your listening skills, really learning to listen to what your client says, listening to your own thoughts, cultivating awareness of what's going on within you, and then sorting that out. All right, so I want to end this episode by giving you some questions that you can ask to help your client explore their anger. Now, before I share the questions, I do want to encourage you to explore how you feel when other people express anger. Because if you're going to ask any of these questions and you're going to open this up and you're going to invite someone to explore their anger, they might to you seem like, ooh, they're getting really angry. And there are many people who have a response to other people's anger and get freaked out. And that has a lot to do with earlier experiences in life and with a need to process and heal from those. But if you aren't clear on your own responses to other people's anger, it's going to be hard for you to ask these questions. So I just want to alert you to that. And you may not be ready to explore a client's anger, and that's okay. And again, that might just indicate a place for you to do some learning. Okay, so I'm going to give you three sets of questions. The first is really just invite curiosity. When you notice or you think that you notice anger arising for a client, start by asking them to identify what they're feeling. You can use a tool like the core emotions. You can say, can you scan this document and see if there are any words that describe what you're feeling right now? You can say, I'm curious what's coming up for you. And if they don't say anger and you feel like that's what you're observing, you might say, I'm curious if you're noticing the presence of any anger. And then if they say no, that's okay. Let it go and ask more about whatever they were raising or talking about. The second set of questions has to do with inviting body awareness. If someone says, yeah, I'm feeling angry, I'm feeling really irritated, I'm frustrated, you can follow up with asking, do you feel this anywhere in your body? What's that like? What sound does this anger want to make? And some of you might feel more or less comfortable with asking this, and some clients might feel more or less comfortable being asked these questions. That's okay. Remember, when you're coaching, you may ask a lot of questions that don't land, that don't result in the kind of reflection or insight that you're hoping for, and that's okay. That's feedback for you. That's just information. So then you try a different question. But related to this body awareness category, it's really useful to know that emotions are physical experiences. In some ways, they really only exist in our bodies and we make up stories about them. And one of the keys to working with emotions is learning how to move them through our bodies. So opening this conversation and inviting body awareness is really helpful. If you are getting really interested in exploring how to coach around emotions, I hope that you know that I have got an upcoming Art of Coaching Emotions workshop. You can find the information about that in the show notes. That is coming up in June. And in that workshop, I go into a lot of strategies for how to coach emotions. Okay, so third set of questions. Back to my set of questions for you. The third set begins with asking, what could you learn from your anger? Remember, all of our emotions are our friends. They want to help us learn. They want to teach us. And so you can say to someone, imagine your anger as a character sitting across from you and ask it some questions. Listen to what it has to say. You can even ask your client to speak from that character, you know, like, what voice does your anger have? How does it sit? You can ask your client to move chairs, like to shift their body back and forth to indicate that they're playing these different characters. They're playing themselves and they're playing anger. Now, again, the broader context around how you feel about someone expressing anger and also how your client feels about expressing anger, all of that broader context, that's going to be relevant. It will be present. And sometimes it helps to just acknowledge it. And at the same time, don't let your fear of anger or someone expressing anger prevent you from opening up some exploration of this emotion. I have found over and over and over that when I invite clients to explore anger, the intensity, the way the anger can seem a little scary, dissipates really fast, especially if you can be receptive and open and not freaked out by someone else's anger. But again, if you are, that's okay. It's just an indicator, a sign for you to explore your relationship with anger and probably stuff from your life. Okay, folks, so for more on anger, I also really encourage you to check out the section in my book Onward and in the Onward workbook. Also, if you are reading Onward or you're about to read Onward, I hope you know that we facilitate an Onward book club, and that might be a great place for you to connect with other educators and explore how to cultivate emotional resilience. So you'll find a link to that information also in the show notes. All right, friends, thank you for being here. And next week, I'll explore sadness. And just remember, if you found this useful, share it with someone else. You could also rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It's really, really helpful to get those. And in closing here, as I always do, I want to thank Leslie Bickford, who is the podcast producer, and also Stacey Goodman, who does the sound engineering. All right, everyone, take care. I'll see you next week.